If you don't have a taste in your mouth, if you don't have your taste in your mouth for something, then you will fulfill your appetites and desires on anything. Man, what's in your spirit? What taste is in your mouth? Caleb did not, he never lost sight of the goals that he had. He said in Joshua chapter 14, at the end of the verse, Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, at the end of the verse, all this time, look what was in his heart. Look what was in his spirit. These giants that are in there, and they got my stuff. They got my stuff. And they need to get out. And he said at the end of verse 12, and the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out. They got my stuff. Look, you need to tell somebody, look, man, you got my stuff, and you're going to let it go.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of I Want That Mountain, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I Want That Mountain, Part 2.
All right, Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and we read these words in the first part of the verse. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. As we look at the slide that's on the projection unit, you will see a picture of Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Over 4,000 people have attempted to climb Mount Everest. Out of the 4,000, only 660 plus have been successful in doing that. And as a result of trying to climb Mount Everest, 142 people have died trying to reach the top of Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 5.5 miles above sea level, and if you put together 20 Empire State Buildings, you can get some indication of how tall Mount Everest is. To many people who start out to climb Mount Everest, it's a challenge, it's a goal. Is something in life that they would like to accomplish. Many start out, but few finish. Many of us will probably never even be able to go and climb Mount Everest, but there are mountains in our lives that we have to climb sometimes on a daily basis. As we look at our text today, Caleb was an individual who saw the promised land. He entered into the promised land. He saw that it was a place of milk and honey. He saw that it was a place of fruitfulness and abundance, and he knew that that was the goal, that was the mountain that God desired for him to accomplish. And as he went back and gave the report, they said that truly the land is an abundant land, and it's a land that we can have success in. It's a land that we can grow in. It's a land that we can be fruitful in. But there are giants in the land. There is walled cities in the land. It's a good land, but there's a lot of obstacles that come between us and the land. And the people began to complain and murmur, and Joshua and Caleb steeled the people. And they said that our God is able to give us this land. And let us go up at once and possess it. But then the people began to speak of stoning Joshua and Caleb. And then God shows up on the scene, and God lets them know that he had anointed them to be able to move into the promised land. But because of their complaining and because of their unbelief, that everyone over the age of 20 years old would die in the wilderness, and only two people would enter into the promised land over 20 years old, and that would be Joshua and Caleb. And here we see in Joshua 14 that Caleb stands at the precipice of his mountain. He stands at the precipice 45 years later, has not wavered in his desire, has not wavered in his goal. And he looks at the top of that mountain and he says, give me that mountain. Last week we started to talk about what are some mountains that are in your life that God would have you to accomplish. That as we begin a new year, that it would be a tragedy for us to be sitting at the end of this year in the same situation that we were in the beginning of this year. So we need to look and see some things in our lives that will move us off point, that will get us to the place where we are accomplishing the God-ordained goals that he has for us. That there are mountains in our lives, and those mountains represent the goals that you have. The mountains in your life represent those tasks that you desire to achieve. What is the mountain that God has placed upon your heart that you want to accomplish this year? As you think about it, maybe it may be an academic, educational mountain. Maybe it may be a financial mountain. We've heard stories about people who have been sick, and maybe their mountain is just to be able to be a little bit stronger in their bodies this year. All of us should have some type of mountain that we are trying to reach. Caleb was 85 years old. It would have been very easy for him to sit back and say, well, you know, I've done all that I'm going to do. You know, there's really nothing else. I'm going to leave it over to these young people and let them have it now. You know, it's time for me to turn it over to them. But Caleb didn't say that. What did Caleb say? Caleb said, I want that mountain. He said, I want that mountain. And as I look at that, and I know personally, you know, I have no desire to climb Mount Everest. I don't know of too many people that do have a desire to climb Mount Everest. But the fact of the matter is that there are some people that that is a challenge to them. They have set that as their life goal to be able to do something like that. And what do? They take their resources. They take their energy. They go through training, all in efforts to be able to reach the goal of their life. And so we began last week, and I want to continue this week, is to talk about how do you reach your goals? How do you achieve the goals in your life? And we want to look at this based on the life of Caleb. How can you reach the mountain in your life? Last week we talked, number one, that Caleb caught a vision. Caleb had a vision. And if you ask the average person, you know, what is your vision and what is your goal? A lot of people would say 5 o'clock. And when you say 5 o'clock, well, what do you mean by 5 o'clock? Because that's when I get off of my job. You know, that's a pretty short-sighted goal. I mean, if that's the biggest goal that you have in life is the end of the day, what time you get off, man, your life is pretty well contained in a small box that pretty much is taking you nowhere. Caleb caught a vision. You know the thing that I love? Look, let's look back in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2. And it says here, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. Which I give unto the children of Israel. Now, if you look down a couple verses, in verse 22, it says, and they ascended by the Negev and came unto Hebron, where Ahimah and Shishak and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. They saw the grapes. They saw the fruitfulness. They saw it, like I said last week. They saw it. They saw it. but only two caught it. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. 12 of them saw it, but only two of them caught it. All they had to do was go back and remember what God told Moses in verse 2. He says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. Catch this. Which I give unto the children of Israel. They saw that. They caught it. It became a part of their spirit. And my question for you today is, have you caught a vision of what God would have for you to do? Secondly, we talked last week about Caleb did not wait for the perfect conditions. There were giants in the land. The city was walled. He didn't say, well, let's wait until God sends an earthquake and knocks down the walls. Let's wait until God sends some kind of disease and wipes out the giants. He said, let us go up at once. The conditions might not be favorable. It might seem like all odds are against me. It might seem like I'm going uphill, but let us go up at once and possess the land. We don't have to wait until things are perfect. We don't have to wait until we got all our ducks in a row. Sometimes God just calls you to step out on faith and face the mountains and giants that are in your life. Three, we saw that Caleb did something every day that moved him closer to his goal. Every day he did something closer. Look in Joshua 14 in verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said these 45 years, ever since Moses spoke the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, while they were wandering in the wilderness, they saw it as wandering, but in Caleb's mind, he says, I want this mountain. He said in verse 12, I want this mountain. They saw it as wandering, but what did Caleb see it as? He saw it as another day that he was closer to his goal. Another day. And you know, the sad thing is that some people are wandering in the wilderness of their life. They are meandering around, they are lollygagging, and they're absolutely going nowhere. They're just floating from one side to the other, and you're not moving in any direction. I like the quote by John Maxwell where he says, you are what you do daily. Every day you live, you are in the process of becoming. Whether you are becoming better or worse depends on what you devote yourself to. Somebody said this. I can tell you what your goals are very simply by two words. Two words. I can tell your goals. Number one is your calendar, and number two is your checkbook. Let me see those two. I don't need to sit down and study your life. I don't have to do an assessment of you. I don't have to ask 165 questions in order to tabulate what type of individual you are. Just let me see two things. Let me see your calendar, and let me see your checkbook. And I can tell you what you are becoming. And if your calendar is filled with a bunch of meaningless activities, and you are devoting your finances to things that are wasteful, then I can tell you what type of individual you are. See, every day, your calendar and your checkbook should show that you are moving in a direction that lines up with the goals of your life. It's just like a church. The church should have a vision, and the church should have a mission, and the budget of the church should line up with the mission and goals of the church. Show me those two things, your calendar and your checkbook, and I'll tell you in what direction that you're moving. Oh, this is some hard preaching. It's tight, but it's right. And you know, I can even show you something else. And I know I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Like I said, Caleb caught it. The other 10, you know, they saw it, but Caleb caught it. And I've been saying something that hopefully some of you are going to catch at some point. I think you hear me, but you haven't caught it. And that is, and this might reflect right in your calendar too, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Number 4, let me move on. Caleb sacrificed ease for opportunity. He sacrificed ease for opportunity. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Amen. I wish I had that testimony, that my strength was as, you know, and I'm only years old, and you know, this brother was 85, and he said he was just as strong as he was, you know, when he entered into the promised land the first time. You know, I was talking to a brother this morning. We was talking about lifting weights. And we said, you know, there's certain exercises that we had to cut loose. You know, I mean, you know, back in the glory days, what did you do? You know, you would get the bar and you would do squats, right? All right, because you wanted calves and you wanted quads. All right, you wanted to be ripped, right? Now, man, you know, you're trying to conserve your joints, and you need, you know, it ain't even about the cut anymore. It's about just staying healthy, being able to walk up some steps, right? that's what it's about now. You know, like I told y'all, man, go ahead right now. Let me give you work. Take some, if you got it, take pictures. So you can show folk. Say, look, this used to be me right here. Caleb, he said, I'm just as strong as I was then. And you know, at a time when he could have sat back and let the young folk take over, at a time when he could have said, you know, I've given my time, it's time for me to lay back, he says, I want that mountain. And under this point here, I put this. At 85 years of age, he could have entered into the promised land basically and inherited whatever he wanted. He could have just said whatever what he wanted to have, and they would have gave it to him, pretty much so. However, he chose to take the opportunity to go fight for the land God promised to him. Sometimes it's easier to get involved in amusement activities, such as watching television or playing video games, and miss the opportunity to move a step closer to accomplishing your goals. Sometimes you've got to sacrifice ease for opportunity. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing games and watching TV. That's all fine. But, you know, sometimes I believe that we come to a crisis point in which we have to make a decision. Is it more expedient for me to sit here and entertain myself and amuse myself, or is it more expedient for me to take the opportunity to move a little bit closer to my goal? And the reason that some people don't move closer to their goals is because they take the path of least resistance. It's very easy to sit down and just allow things to happen around you. But it's another thing to take the bull by the horns and move in a direction that God would have you to move in. You know, we have to see the moments in our lives as opportunities, that each day we are confronted with tens of 20s of 30s of opportunities that flash before us. And each opportunity gives us a way to move closer to our goal.
And then we might as well just be honest with ourselves, because when that opportunity comes up, and if we more often than not decide to sit back and not do anything about it, basically what we are saying is that I'm letting this opportunity go by because, you know, I feel that, you know, at this point it's more important for me to be amused. It's more important for me to be entertained. It's me. And you know what the word amusement means? It comes from two words. Am, which means no, and muse, which means to think or to meditate. So what does amusement mean? It means no thinking or no meditation. And that's basically what happens a lot of times when we begin to do that. And so, you know, I have to wake up in the morning and I have to ask myself the question, you know, am I willing to give up some easy things in my day to accomplish the goal that God has called me to accomplish? You know, sometimes it may mean at night you push yourself just a little bit more to do something a little bit different. Y'all heard somebody say years ago, and I try to adopt this as a philosophy. I can't say that I've been consistent at it, but I've tried to adopt it. And they said, at the end of the day, when you think you can't do one more thing, somebody finish that for me. There you go. Somebody caught it. Oh, praise God. Somebody caught that right there. At the end of the day, when you think you can't do one more thing, do one more thing. Amen. Amen. Don't give in to the ease and the flow. But be somebody. You know, what does it say about Caleb? Turn back. Turn back to Numbers chapter. Oh, this is good right here. This is good. I didn't even have this in my notes. This is good. The Lord just gave this to me right now. Look at this. Numbers 14, 24. This is God talking. 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and have followed me fully, I will bring him unto the land he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now notice two words in there. He had another spirit. What does that mean? The spirit of everybody else was going in a direction that was not leading to the accomplishment of God's goals. So you got 10 guys, and they're all moving toward the direction of nothingness. You got 10 people, and they're all moving to the land of do nothing. You got 10 people, and they're all moving to the land of doubt and complaining. And that's the spirit that's in them. But praise God, you got two that have another spirit. Not that spirit, but another spirit. And my question to you today is, do you have another spirit in you? Or do you have the spirit of the world? Do you have the spirit of the crowd? Oh, whoo. Do you have the spirit of the crowd? Do you have the spirit of the masses? Or do you have another spirit in you? A spirit that's going to take you in another direction. A spirit that's going to take you to do something positive. A spirit that's going to take you to accomplish your God-ordained goals. What spirit do you have in you? Caleb had another spirit within him. Number five, Caleb never lost sight of the goal. He never lost sight of the goal. I told you last week, the first one in my family graduating from college, being a brother growing up in the hood, that college was something that I didn't think was realistic. And then when I finally...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I Want That Mountain, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, I Want That Mountain, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want That Mountain, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want That Mountain, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.